Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Humor Outcast Radio. Tonight we have a special treat. The tables are being turned, and I'm going to turn over the show to the interviewer of celebrities and just an amazing woman, Dr. Nancy Burke. So, Nancy, are you there?
We have so much to I'm here. I have full control. Oh, this is such an honor, Donna Kavanaugh, and I'm excited to interview you and talk about what you've accomplished since founding HumorOutcast.com and now HO Press and all of the amazing things you're doing for authors everywhere. So thank you for letting me turn the tables on you.
Yep, thank you. This is just be fun. So usually we interview together or whatever, but not the other way around, so it's good.
Nope, now it's all about you, and I get to quiz you for writers everywhere.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm ready.
There's so much I want to ask you about, and I want to ask you from the perception of, you know, a new writer as well as a veteran writer who may be trying to push out more content, and so, you know, I'll try to cover things that I wouldn't know, even though I know you pretty well. So we're going to talk today, we're going to talk about writers, we're going to talk about books and publishing, and we're going to be talking about HO Press and Getting Press, and I'm going to be quizzing the woman who knows the answers to so many questions that
you
writers have.
Okay.
There's a lot of pressure here. Okay, well, here's your, you know, long before you founded HumorOutcast.com and then HO Press, you've been a talented and incredibly prolific writer for years. Why enter the realm of publishing or the realm of mentoring other authors? I guess I'm curious how this happened and how HO Press evolved.
I think it was just because I had been a writer for so long, I really started to see that, especially with humor, that humor, it was such a hard genre to get noticed in. And it was people didn't take humor seriously. I know that sounds weird. Or they just wanted to close it down because humor is so subjective. You come up against an editor who might not like humor, they're going to reject it automatically. He or she is going to reject it automatically. So I saw the need that there was a lot of talented humorists out there or budding humorists, and they needed a place to go. And some of the bigger sites were shutting them down. So that's why I did HumorOutcast.com. I didn't think it would evolve into being what it is, but now we're going on our fifth anniversary, and so I am excited as can be that we have so many writers from, you know, the newbies to, or some friends out in L.A. and stuff that have been so nice about writing for us and just being part of the community. And the HO Press was just another step with that, too, because you needed writers, then they wanted to be authors, and you know that. The doors to publishing are so closed for so many people.
Well, and it's so true, and I'm lucky. I am a contributor on HumorOutcast.com, so I'd like to disclose that. But, and you do have a cadre of people, but it started with, you know, what, a handful of writers. How many now? What are you up to now?
I think we're actually up to, I always say over 100 because we're up to over 140 now. Now, remember, not everybody is active all at one time. We have people who write every day. We have people who write once a month. We have people who write once every 6 months. And then some people leave for a while, they do other things, and they say, well, I miss writing. I'm going to come back. So,
right.
But I always say once you're part of the HO family, you're always part of the HO family. But there are authors on the site, so there's over 140 at this count.
Well, you are like the nice mother who lets you come back. But the thing that's interesting that fascinates me, what you just said about how, you know, humor is so subjective and that so often humor writers get nosed out. And I know I don't want people to think that HO Press just prints authors that are comedy because you go or humor writers, you go beyond that. But to talk a little bit about the humor, what's fascinating to me is once you said that, it was like, whoa, I never realized it, but it's almost like authors who do write humor or have humor even within their novels or whatever, do kind of run the risk that if you don't get a reviewer who clicks with you, you might not get a book deal.
That's right. And it's more often than not, unless you're a famous face out there that, you know, publishers might see you as money in the bank. They might not have to do a lot of marketing for you or whatever. But it is such a subjective genre. And what some might find hysterically funny, others might find so offensive. So it is a difficult road to maneuver on, because you just don't know who's going to be looking at that.
And, right.
You know.
Well, with HO Press, what is your mission as the founder of HO Press?
It's pretty much the same mission as it was for HumorOutcast.com. My mission with the press, be it for humor books with HO Press or non-humor books with Shorehouse Books, is to give a writer their dream of becoming an author, to get their work out there, and to try and make that dream as close to their vision as possible, and to help them just, you know, let people see that they are more than just a name on a book. They are people who've worked and slaved on this book, and it means a lot to them.
Right. And what in the world of publishing, and there's so much out there now, not just the big traditional publishing houses that we remember from our childhood, the names, which those have changed as well. But
yeah.
In the world of publishing, where does HO fall? What kind of, how do you describe the kind of press that you are?
Some people used to describe us as boutique. I like to think of us as we're a partnering publishing house. I look at every author as my partner in every sense of the word. I want to be there with them every step of the way, from the idea of the book, through the formatting and developing of the book, to the publishing of the book, to the marketing of the book. So
wow.
I look at them, that's what I look for in authors. Are you going to be a good partner with me? Are you going to want to work with me? Are you going to be anxious to show, you know, give ideas or accept ideas? I just look for somebody who's just excited that this is their chance to get their book out.
Well, and you know, I don't want to jump too far ahead and talk about publicity, but this is the perfect entree for that. That's the thing, you and I have talked about this in the past, is that, you know, some people just want to, you know, get their work out, drop it in the lap of someone and hope it all, you know, fame and fortune comes, or, you know, your book gets recognized. But 99.9% of the time, that is not going to happen. And if an author is not engaged in it, it's not going to happen. So I'm happy to hear you say that you want to make sure that individuals are partners and still engage with the process. Is that something that, you know, you expect authors to do when they sign on, like they are going to play an active role in helping to promote, you know, going to book signings, thinking about their connections, dealing with bloggers who, you know, have the same genre of interests or whatever?
Absolutely. The more engaged an author is, in my view, the better they are. Because gone are the days where, a publisher, even today's publishers, they can't afford to do it, the traditional publishers, gone are the days of,
right,
we're setting you up on a book tour, you're going to be on TV, we're going to put you like 5 signings this week in different, those days are gone. Now authors have to be open to, okay, look, not a lot of bookstores are going to be open to you, because even though we call ourselves independent publishing with a traditional flair, even though our methods are more traditional, we're still considered independent publishing. So a lot of doors, traditional doors, might still, they're not as closed as they were, but they're still not like opening up and saying, oh, come on in.
Right.
So, yeah, I need authors to sit there and say, they're okay, look, I have this in a coffee shop for you. Would you want to go there? They would really like to work with you because it helps them too, because they're a small business. You'd be surprised how some authors, when you talk to them about this, potential authors, they're not for this. they're still want the old, I always say the Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote. I watch that show and I'm going, oh, remember when publishing was like that? They're
right.
still
and it
stuck
seems like-
in that paradigm. And that paradigm, except for a rare few, does not exist anymore.
Right. And, I mean, I've seen it where, you know, even highly prominent authors will say, you know, I've only got the PR people with me for X, you know, this
right.
many weeks or this week or whatever. And so I think no matter who publishes your book, you have to be willing to go out on a limb for yourself. And, you know, P.S.
Mm-hmm.
in life, isn't that what it's about?
It's all
as
about
well.
That.
Like, you don't just
mm-hmm.
drop your work in someone's lap and say, okay, now it's your turn. It's not
it
the way.
It just doesn't work like that anymore. Yeah.
Now, just to put people onto the website now, I know
mm-hmm.
we still have a lot of the interview to go, but should they go to humoroutcast.com or do you want them
they
to go directly
go there
to Agent Press?
They could go to humoroutcast.com and they could press the link. They'll see the Humor Outcast Press block right on the front page of the site, it's right in the head banner of the site. Or they can go to hopress-shorehousebooks.com, and that goes directly to the site as well. And
great, and that's hopress-shorehousebooks.com.
Right, and they could even go to the contact info on humoroutcast.com, and they could email me. There's also my business number there. There's just a lot of ways that I'm on social media under HO Press.
Yes, you
on
are.
Twitter and DT Cav on Twitter, Facebook, Humor Outcast. I mean, so they can get us through a lot of different ways.
Well, you know, I know you don't take every writer that approaches you and you try to find
right.
the right fit. What should writers know or ask when they're trying to assess a publishing option? Because I'm sure there's someone that comes to you and you're like, no, you don't want me. You want this. Or, whoa, you're perfect. What should they know when they're trying to pick?
I love different ideas. I know, a lot of people, I've even done essay books, but when essays have a different twist to them, like a different theme to them, I love that. But in even like non-humor, I like, we have memoirs. I love memoirs that have an unbelievable story attached to them. To me, it's still like the same thing. What's going to grab somebody? How original is it? You know, even if it's somebody who's local, I think about this, we both know him, like John Chamberlain with Above the Fries, who's a recent finalist
right.
with the USA Today contest.
And a great guy.
He's a great guy. He's so funny, and he's the king of the rants. And even though that book is so Pittsburgh-centric, it hit a common chord nationally.
Obviously.
And,
you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right?
Go ahead.
No.
That was
even a surprise to him and to me. But it was such a fun book. It just said, oh, it's got to be published. And I use him and other writers like Roz Warren, that they're so engaged in the process of getting the book out. They're not afraid to take chances. They're they believe in their work so much. And Kathy Sikorsky's another one. I mean, like, there's all of them. They all do that. I shouldn't just pick out a couple. That's what I look for. Are you going to be so excited about this book? Because you're sort of stuck with me. I don't say 3 months I'm done promoting. You're going to be with me for life.
Yeah, you better
like
her.
And it could be 3 years down the road, I say, ooh, this looks like it would fit you. You're going to go.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you use John Chamberlain, author of Above the Fries, as an example, because I live in Pittsburgh where John lives. And the thing I love about John, and, you know, knowing you as well as I do, it's a perfect fit because John is a born collaborator. You are too. But John is like, you know, one of these where he didn't just drop a book in your lap, say, make it look pretty, and and I'll check in with you when a royalty check comes out. There is a real ability to say, okay, where can this book land, and how can I get it there? And I just think that's nowadays, if you have a book or you have a product, it's the only way you can really make it fly is to play an active role, no matter where you publish. And I think that with HO Press, you really do focus on that.
Yeah, and I talk to authors all the time. We have academics. We have Concha Alborg, who is a former literature professor at St. Joe's University in Philly. And when she understood this, she was like, I can speak in different – she went right to the academic circles and to the society circles in the city of Philadelphia. And so we were able to get great speaking engagements using her connections in the academic world. So it's not just, and that's what I tell people, you just have to think beyond the traditional, that old way of thinking, okay, somebody's going to just do everything for me. And, we do traditional things. We do the media lists. We target media lists. We do press releases. We put together a media kit with the book that goes out to reviewers. I mean, we do the traditional things, but it's the non-traditional things that get the notice. And that's what I look for in an author who's willing to do those non-traditional things to work with me to get that book noticed.
Right, and non-traditional doesn't have to be something you're uncomfortable with. It's just a matter your book is about horses. I'm thinking your No Avail series,
right?
Your book is about horses. It's time to look at that community, or it's time to really think. You have to think like a marketer, don't you?
Yes, you do. More, you really have to be a marketer today as an author. And you know what turns me off from authors? When people tell me, I don't like to self-promote.
Well,
and I sit there and think, how are you going to sell this book if
you won't
self-promote?
Funny. It's so true. And I used to be the one, was the first one who would say something like that. And you have to get over it. And you can. I mean, I got over it. After the age, around the age of 40, right? You did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get over it. You can't. I mean, there are people who will say she's self promoting, and you just have to move beyond them. But I had someone tell me today, a publicist, that it was hard sometimes to get someone to put out, to push their material on their Facebook page because they don't want to feel like they're self promoting. And I said, oh my gosh, they're missing. This is
the whole point.
How on earth, So it's fascinating. Well, here, I know we've got about 10 minutes left, and I know one thing everybody wants to get down to is some of the numbers, and I know it's probably hard to say exactly, but, obviously the goal of HO Press and your goal, Donna Kavanaugh, is to make it affordable for authors to see their publishing vision happen. And that hasn't always been the case. I mean, people always want to take your money, but, sometimes it's a lot more than you can spare. What kind of a financial commitment are authors looking at when they work with HO Press?
The maximum that anyone would ever have to put out in front is $2,500. And the reason for that is because I pay all the subcontractors out. I can't wait for them to wait for royalties on a book. So formatting, cover design, they all get paid out front. And I also start the promotion process with that. That's why I call it a partnership, because no money, I really never make money until the book is published and we start royalties. And only $2,500 because I also do payment plans for people as well. At the beginning I didn't, but I am very conscious, being a writer myself, that discretionary cash is just really not usually is not in the writing profession.
Right.
I try and work with authors as much as possible with that. And So then we partner with royalties. But what I don't do is I don't make people inventory books. So that cost is gone. And if
and
somebody
what does that
has
mean?
A cover, like, you know, a lot of publishers today will say, you have to buy 500 of your books.
Oh,
and
okay.
I won't
and so,
do that.
And so do they do that? And then I'm not familiar with that. So they would say, you have to buy 500 books, like you'd have to buy them straight from you or from...
Yeah, because that's how, I mean, yes, they, you know, some people, depending on the companies that are out there, some will say, you have to buy them from us. You have to buy the books from us. I don't do that. I don't believe in that. Every author gets a discount code of 50% off, which means that when they do have a signing, like, or they're speaking somewhere, they can buy their book at cost and they can sell it at retail price and then they can keep all the profits from that.
Right.
And but they don't have to buy any in advance. I just say get a bunch for that event. That's what you need to have. I buy an inventory so that I can send out for people who they, you know, I ask, who do you want to review this book? Is there somebody that you would like reviews for? We send them out to media, things like that. And that also is included in that $2,500. So it's not like, oh, she's giving $2,500. Like, so for the cost of getting all the books out and things like that. So writing the press releases, that kind of thing. But that's it. But if somebody has a cover designer, they have a friend or a niece or a brother who's an artist and they want them to do the cover, I knock them out that I would give the cover designer. I knock it off the $2,500.
Right.
So then it comes down. If somebody doesn't want me to do their marketing, okay, so we take off that. I don't charge the marketing. So then it's less for them. If somebody doesn't, you know, if they just want formatting and they don't want it under the HO Press name, okay, I'll do that service for you. So there's a lot of ways I work with authors. I just want to help them still get their work out. I've become more of a mentor on a lot of different levels. So I can't really abandon them and say, I'm not going to help you with this. What do you need me to do and we can work it out?
So HO Press is kind of like a spa for writers. You can go and look at the menu and pick out whether you want the facial or the massage, and you just pick out what layer you want.
The only thing don't break apart is the promotion package. That's the only thing, because I figure you just need a full slam bang on promotion. And just me writing a press release and not sending it out and following up on it or anything, because I usually have to bug papers and organizations about 4 or 5 times before somebody comes back and says, yes, okay, we'll do this. You know?
Well,
so,
if you drop the ball on that, if you drop the ball on that, then it doesn't help the author and it doesn't help the publishing house.
Well, no, and sometimes authors need that little shove. You know, how often do you hear 2 weeks after a book is published by an independent author, it's too hard? I hear that so much. It's too hard. I was like, really? You poured your life's blood into this, and 2 weeks because it didn't climb up the Amazon rankings, it's too hard?
it's funny because I like the marketing side of it. And as you know, I tell everyone that my book, which was independently published, College Bound and Gagged, was in the Tina Fey movie, Admission.
That's the best.
And
I loved watching it in
that
the theater.
Was amazing.
I know that book.
but it's the power thing. Because I told everyone about it. But it shows you the power of word of mouth and getting and being diligent. And I think, you know, that's exactly what you do for authors and friends. But I have to say, when being around as many authors as you've been around, I'm around them a lot by virtue of writing as much as I do. I think some of the biggest misconceptions and mistakes authors make are, and I'll give those to you and you tell me what yours are from seeing people, is number one, I think sometimes they think, and other people have made them think that, like, if you're not in a traditional publishing house, it demeans your work, which I think is crazy.
That has
changed
a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that they get really hung up on, and we've seen this when you and I have been at conferences and stuff, is they put so much value in, I have to get on the Today Show, I have to get on a morning mm-hmm. show, and I'm not picking on any show in particular, but what author wouldn't want to be on there, but it's almost like that's where they put all their focus. P.S., look at the number of time slots and whatever, and P.S., I've been slotted to go on and then gotten nosed out for a big, national crises, and also like just somebody cooler, prettier, sexier, or whatever.
Really cooler than you? Sexier than you? Get out.
So and so. But, the thing that I think is interesting is take a look at those shows and see the authors who have been on and pick someone who doesn't have a big – name, and you'll see the numbers aren't going to don't necessarily climb any more than someone that
it's like a couple of hits, a couple of surges. If one of my authors got a national show, I'd jump for joy because it's more exposure.
Right.
In fact, Heidi Clemens with Welcome to Heidi, I was drooling when they showed the book up on in an extra segment.
Yeah.
Right. So, and there's our book, and she's talking about H.O. Press on Extra, or she was the lead story
right.
in the Sunday Post on page 6. And did
right.
that translate into sales? Absolutely. But part of
exactly.
that is too was the most of that was not that we got her on those things, was that the subject matter itself, and that Heidi is
yep.
a well-known producer. So we were able to, just put the whole package together with that. You get that little surge with it, but I have seen many authors go on TV shows and they're saying, I thought I'd sell a ton of books. I didn't sell any. And so
right.
I go back to people that, you need to look in your backyard. Now, I'm not saying family, because family is sometimes the worst people in supporting books. Everybody says
true.
It. But in your own backyard, who's going to be interested in this book? And how can I swing it to get the local media interested in that book? And then
well,
I go outward. You have to just do the whole thing. You have to do local. You have to do national. You have to do internet. You have to do the whole thing. And,
exactly.
And sometimes it works great. Sometimes it doesn't, but I always tell people, the old saying, you write book 3 to sell book 1. The more that you get yourself known, the more sales you're going to make.
And P.S., Donna, isn't it? I mean, someone once told me, and the words are ever so true, it is rare. You're never going to make enough money to feel a difference in your lifestyle from your first book.
No.
And,
rare
Harry Potter.
It's the rare, whatchamacallit, that trilogy, what's that chick's name? 50 Shades of Grey. That's the anomaly of all that, and it was so badly written. But that's the anomaly of that. You're right. Oh, I just got the warning that we're 90 seconds out, Dr. Burke.
Oh,
how about that?
That means, Donna Cavanaugh, we have to send people to humoroutcast.com to find out more about H.O. Press Shorehouse Books, or go to hopress-shorehousebooks.com for more information on publishing and H.O. Press and Humor Outcasts and how you can maximize getting your books into the hands of those people who will appreciate them. Donna Cavanaugh,
yes.
This is fun turning the tables on you.
It is. And so since we turned the tables, I want to quickly tell people, you want a real, real good interview, not just me, celebrity interviews, Nancy Burke. Go to wineat9.com, W-H-I-N-E, @9.com. Also go to parade.com and hear and read her work there. She's like the guru of celebrities. She's interviewed so many interesting people.
You. Thank you. Yeah, I interview rock stars, and then I interview the rock star humor diva, Donna Cavanaugh. This is fabulous.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everyone. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Nancy, for wanting
My
to
pleasure.
Do this with me. And
it was so
thanks,
much fun.
Everyone. And we'll be back next week. Good night, everyone.
Bye.